The first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning with the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, beginning with the 15th verse. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms, because your natural limitations. For just as you were presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you for standing for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he died, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this thing?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would come and speak your word, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated while my prop arrives. I know you can't all see perfectly, but you get the point. Turn with me to Ezekiel 37 if you have your Bibles. Ezekiel 37. I want you to get a sense of the deadness of the scene. The prophet Ezekiel has a vision of an entire valley being filled with dry bones. There you go. The bodies have decomposed. All that's left is bones. The bones are dried and bleached by the sun. There is absolutely no life left. This is dead as dead can be. That's the scene that he has. And God tells the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak God's words over these bones and to these bones. And in this vision, Ezekiel does that. He speaks to these bones that he walks around among. And Ezekiel does that, and as he does that, the bones start to come together and form skeletons, and ligaments and flesh starts to come upon the dead bones as they come together. And he prophesies again, and he's told to speak and ask God's breath to come among them, come in them, and they do, and they stand up in this vision as this great army standing in the valley. What begins with absolute lifeless dead bones, through the power of God's word and God's spirit, new life is formed. God breathes life into the deadness, and a great multitude of people comes to life. That's the vision of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. And so I'm just going to leave these here to let that sort of settle in. But what we're going to do this morning is I want you to see three dry bones that God breathes life into, that we see in this passage and also in the whole of Scripture that this points us towards. Three places that God breathes life into the dry bones. So I will leave these very special bones there for the visual for you. So three dry bones that God, through his Spirit, breathes life into. And the first is Israel's dry bones live. Israel's dry bones live. Now, it's very helpful in the Bible when God comes out and tells you what the vision means. In verse 11, God just comes out and tells us what this vision is about in Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Then God said to me, Ezekiel speaking, then God said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off.'" The dry and lifeless bones strewn across the valley that Ezekiel sees in his vision is a depiction of the state of the Israelites in exile under a foreign power. The vision is of spiritual deadness and of what appears to be a completely unredeemable situation. The people of Israel are alive physically, and yet they're saying that their situation is completely and utterly without hope. They're like a valley filled with dry and dead and sun-bleached bones. They are dried up. They're without hope. There is no way they can see their way through this terrible mess that they're in. Can these bones live? God asks. Can God's people be restored from this utter devastation in a foreign land? I don't know, God, but you do, Ezekiel responds. I don't know, God. The situation looks to be absolutely, completely hopeless. I don't know if these bones can live. Sure looks hopeless to me. But if anyone can bring life, it's you, Ezekiel says. And in this vision, God steps in. God breathes life into the hopeless situation. God restores his people. And actually, in physical history, he does intervene on those people's behalf. He does free them from this exile that they're in. He brings them back into their promised land, and he establishes them in the land that they had to leave. This historical situation of exile and pain and death are restored by God's power, and his people are freed and years later returned to their land. Israel's dry bones live. Second, fast forward a few hundred years in history, God's people are again in bondage under a foreign power. Not the Assyrians and the Babylonians as they were in the Old Testament, but now the Romans. And once again, it appears that all hope is lost. There are literal bones of dead Israelites around that the Romans have killed. And there's also the spiritual dry bones of a nation, God's chosen nation, who are again under the power of evil occupiers. And once again, the question could be asked, can these bones live? And once again, God comes on the scene. This time, not simply in a vision, but literally and physically. God becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ. God enters into the broken and spiritually dead world and brings new life. But God does it in a way that we wouldn't have expected, and in fact, no one did. God becomes one of us and then dies the death for us. Jesus, if you will, joins the dead bones in the valley. On the cross, Jesus takes the sins of his people upon himself and then dies the death that we deserve. The God-man, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, takes the sins of the world upon himself and is cut off, spiritually dead on their behalf in his physical death. The valley is full of dry bones, and Jesus takes that death and that dryness upon himself. He dies his people's death for us. He defeats death by and through his death. Death itself is defeated through the death of the Son of God. Jesus dies his people's death and was, in a very real sense, laid among the dry bones in the valley. Jesus, God himself, becomes a pile of dead and dry bones for us. There was no life left in them. The Romans knew how to kill people and make sure they were really dead. Jesus suffered that death and was laid to rest in a tomb as, quite simply, a pile of dead bones. Bones that would dry out just like any other set of bones. But Jesus just simply refused to stay dead. Did you ever play the game Cops and Robbers as a child? It is one of the most frustrating games. Because you run around chasing each other with your little finger pistols and you get somebody and they fall down, and what happens? They get right back up and start chasing you. That's what Jesus does. But not with children playing a silly game, but actually to death and Satan itself. Jesus just simply would not stay dead. Jesus dies and is laid to rest among the dry bones, but he is raised to new life and new creation as the first of what will happen to all who trust in Jesus. Jesus' dry bones live. And then lastly, our dry bones live. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. In ourselves, we're depicted as dead and dry bones, even when we're physically alive, just like the Israelites in Ezekiel's vision. Without God's intervention, we are all, the Bible says, dry bones with no hope. Paul writes later in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." No hope, without God, spiritually dead and dry, not sleeping, dead. Not in trouble, hopelessly lost. That is our situation without Jesus. But God steps in. One writer put it this way: God did not come to improve the improvable, teach the teachable, reform the reformable. God came to raise the dead. I'm going to read that again. God did not come to improve the improvable, to teach the teachable, to reform the reformable. God came to raise the dead. And that's us. And God raises the dead. The question in Ezekiel 37 is, can these bones live? And of course, God can give life to the dead, as he does in the vision of Ezekiel 37. But will he give life to the dead bones? Will he raise rebels and sinners like us? Sure, he can, but will he? And the answer in Jesus is yes. Ephesians 2:1 again, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven all our trespasses. In Jesus, the answer to this question is yes. In Jesus, we are made alive and enlivened with the Holy Spirit. As one writer just wonderfully put it, we are not dry bones any longer, but living, breathing, spirit-infused children of God. In Jesus, we are raised from our state of being spiritually dead and dry bones. We are raised to life and empowered with God's life-giving Spirit. That is what happens in Jesus. Now, I do want to make one thing very clear. We are raised and we live because Jesus was raised, which we then receive in faith. We just talked about this in the final of our Wednesday night classes this past week, the Who, What, and Why class. The fact that in our baptism we are being joined with Jesus in his death and being raised to new life with him in his new life. And then that must be received in faith. Being enlivened by God's Spirit and restored to life from the dead and dry bones experience that we have without Jesus is not automatic. We're getting close to Easter, and every Easter there's this view that pops up again, sort of this liberal, very not Christian view, which talks about resurrection as being basically automatic for all people. It's sort of the, just like the flowers come back, so too everyone will be raised. And that is just not the message of Jesus. The Bible's message is not that, is emphatically that this new life is not automatic, as if Jesus didn't need to do anything. New life, dry bones being restored, the Holy Spirit enlivening people is not automatic just because we're human. It comes by God's grace and God's work on our behalf to all who receive him with faith. Without Jesus, we are dry bones with no spiritual hope, but God breathes new life in and through Jesus to all who then receive him with faith. It is available to all, but it is not automatic for any. We all have the chance to turn to Jesus, to receive his free gift of life and love and healing and restoration and salvation through what he's done for us. We all have that offer. We all have that available to us. But it is not automatic for any of us in ourselves. Now, in the season of Lent, the season in the church year that we are coming to the end of, we're supposed to recognize our spiritual deadness without Jesus and his life-giving word and spirit. It's 40 days long, which feels like a very, very long time as we go through it. And it's for that length of time, in part, to remind us that we are in a very real sense joining Jesus in the desert, in his time in the desert, a place of dryness and even death. We're reminded that we are dependent on God breathing his new life into us to bring our dead and dry bones to life. And he does that by becoming one of us, dying in our place, filling us with his Spirit, placing us within his people, his family, the church, empowering us for the mission as his ambassadors in the world. It is not automatic, but this is what God does for us, which we then receive in faith. God is in the business of raising the dead and giving new life and healing to those that are dry. Ultimately, this is experienced in salvation through Jesus, but it's also experienced in a variety of other ways. We all go through seasons of dryness, and even a sense that everything around us is just simply beyond hope. And God is in the business of breathing life into those situations. I'm thinking of certain situations that some of you have shared, which I am certainly not going to mention, but you know what I'm talking about. Situations that look absolutely hopeless. And God is in the business of breathing life into dead and dry situations. I'll say a bit more about this a bit later in the service. But there have been quite a few dry moments for this congregation in recent times. Those of you that have been around for a little while, there's been a lot of staff transition that all ended up happening very, very close together. A handful of ministries have had their leaders move out of the area within just a couple months. There are a number of ways that individuals have felt real dryness in the midst of that. I have had times when I'm just crying out, and sometimes just crying, how in the world is all of this, whatever this happened to be at the time, how is this going to work out? And again and again and again, God has breathed life into this congregation and into the situations that for a time looked, we had no idea. And we've just seen it again and again and again as God has breathed life. I've seen hard situations where no one around could see their way through. And I've seen God open doors and breathe life into those exact situations. A story that I just keep hearing, I've heard this at least five times in the last week and a half. A very common story that I keep hearing is something like this. I have been distant from God for years. And I am so glad that God brought me to Christ Church. This congregation is such a blessing for me, and I can sense God working in my life. God is breathing life into the dry places. We're seeing God's blessing on the work of some of our members at the Thrive facility just up the street, ministering actively to the residents and staff there. We have another service there today at 1:30, and all are welcome to come. All are invited. We've had staff positions sitting unfilled for a while, and it's been hard knowing that we're not settled in the midst of that sort of transition yet, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But I am excited to share how God has walked us through this season. God has not left us dry. God continues to provide exactly what Christ Church needs for the mission that he's given us to do, to connect people in this community to Jesus Christ, to one another, and to God's work in the world. Now, clearly, Christ Church has never been dead bones, but we've definitely experienced dryness in a variety of ways. And God continues, as God loves to do, to breathe life, breathe new life into those places to do the work and be the people that he's called us to do and be. And it's exciting to be a part of that and to experience God's restoring breath and God's Spirit moving among us as his church. Our dry bones live through the work of Jesus. Ezekiel saw a vision of utter hopelessness and death and despair. Nothing but a miraculous work of God could possibly bring new life into that situation. But God did a miraculous work. Israel's dry bones lived. And even more, God came among us in Jesus and died for us, and he was quite literally laid among the dry bones in his death. And even death itself was no match for him. Jesus's dry bones live. And because of Jesus' death and new life, because he sends his Spirit among us, his people, our dry bones live as well. God's Spirit is in us and among us and doing his work in this place and in us as a people. And God does not leave his church, does not leave this church spiritually dry, though sometimes we walk through dry seasons. God provides exactly what his people need and is working through this ministry that he's called us to do, through his life-giving Spirit, to do the new work that he's called us to do in this place. God is in the business of breathing life into dry places and filling us with his life-giving Spirit for the mission that he's called us to do. God is in that business. So the question, can these dry bones live? In Jesus, the answer is a resounding yes. Thanks be to God. Amen.